Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, titled The Parenthesis at the Colon. This is part 2 of 2.
Wait a minute. Go back to Isaiah 61, 2, and it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. What did Jesus not read? And the day of vengeance of our God. Why? Because that's coming in the 70th week of Daniel. Okay, it's not a weather alert. So, Jesus stops at the comma in Isaiah 61:2. And that comma basically represents now. Just like the colon in Daniel 9:26. We are still waiting for what will induce the fulfillment of those words and the day of vengeance of our God. And that will happen after the rapture when the Antichrist confirms the covenant with many for 1 week, and that 70th week begins the countdown to the return of Jesus Christ. You see that? Now, for the benefit of folks, we have some visitors and new people watching online that contacted us over the last few weeks. We have a study explaining the rapture and the return. The rapture and the return are two different events. And the rapture, there's a gathering in the air. The return, we come back with Jesus and we land on the earth when He establishes His kingdom. The rapture takes the saints up to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we come back and the judgment is of the nations, the goats and the sheep. And those who are sheep go into the kingdom for 1,000 years. And so forth and so on. We give, I think, 7 distinct differences showing that the rapture and the return are not the same event. And so you have to keep that in mind as you read all these things. And you just saw another example where first we said a colon, now a comma has represented the time where you're in right now and we're waiting. And waiting. And waiting. Are you ready? Once you're looking for it, what we're studying tonight, you'll see it. Sort of like when you buy a new car and then suddenly notice them all over the place. I've never even heard of the thing called a Honda Fit. But then my trans went out of my Odyssey van and we had to get a car. And so we had had some money saved up for down payment, blah, 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 0% interest. So it was a no-brainer. And we went and got a new Honda Fit. And I look like I'm driving around in a big blueberry, you know. And it's all right, don't worry about it. So ever since I bought that blueberry Honda Fit, I see them all the time now. And so I've got some bumper stickers on mine, and that's sometimes the only way I know which car's mine. Come out of the store and there's 5 blue Fits. Well, that's the way this will be as you read your Bible. Once you're looking for this, you'll start to say, oh, I see that. Here's another one. Go to Zechariah 9. Zechariah Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 9. Zechariah is one of those books, a lot of it won't make sense to you without some real digging. But there's other things in here that just stand right out. And Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. And then we're going to see that this is a prophecy that was fulfilled by Jesus. It says, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That happened right before he was crucified. That's actually what signified he was ready to fulfill Daniel 9:26 and be cut off. Well, then, verse 10 says, And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Verse 9 is talking about what happened when Jesus was here in 34 A.D. Verse 10 is talking about when he returns and sits of his kingdom. So basically the period at the end of verse 9 is representing now. We're in that parenthesis. You literally are reading between the lines here. Between the end of verse 9 and the beginning of verse 10, 1986 years. And counting. Isn't that amazing? Here's an example of the parenthesis between two verses in Revelation 12. Turn over to Revelation 12. And for the rest of the study, feel free to ask a question, but I'm going to ask Dre if you can take the microphone. You don't have to put it right in their face, but just put it close to whoever's asked the question so we can pick it up on the video. Yeah, so anybody have any questions before we get into this question or this text here? Did you want to ask what you were going to ask earlier? Okay. How about you, Johnny?
That's an interesting observation. So apparently, but I didn't know, so that during, while Jesus was here, they didn't have the power to execute people with stoning, but I noticed they tried to once.
Yeah.
When they brought that woman,
yeah,
who was an adulterer, they were planning to stone her.
Yeah, and that's what we see every time. And they picked up stones to stone Jesus because he made himself equal with God, it says, John 8. But they didn't. That's the key. And it's like, it may have been like this, where they picked up stones and they're ready to, and they're thinking, if I do this, I'm going to die. Because they would. Rome would have come in and found whoever did the stoning and killed them. But that's a good point. All right, Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6. Now, I just got to give the introduction here that this is a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head are a crown of 12 stars. We've run the reference before back in Genesis 37 that represents Israel. And she, being Israel, being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And that's Israel brought forth our Messiah, Jesus. And then it says, And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. He's the power behind the Antichrist. But at this time, you're going to see that there are basically two time periods referenced here. Verse 4, And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for devour her child as soon as it was born. And that's what happened when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, troops of Herod tried to kill Jesus. And he went into Bethlehem and the surrounding suburbs and killed all the children under the age of 2. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. Now verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the beginning of Acts, all in a nutshell right there. And then verse 6 says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." That's 3.5 years. That's the second half of the tribulation. So you have verse 5. Let's compare that with Acts 1:9. Keep your finger there in Revelation 12:5 and look at Acts 1:9. This is what the Bible tells us to do right here, Scripture with Scripture. The best Bible, the best commentary on the Bible is what? Amen. So we see in verse 5, it says, "She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to His throne." Acts 1:9, when you're there, read it with me. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." So there's the child caught up unto God. Acts 1:9. Now look at Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews is right before James. Hebrews 12. And verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame." Now read with me. "And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So there you have, the child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Revelation 12:5. And that's confirmed by Acts 1:9. He was caught up to God. And Hebrews 12:2. What's he sat down at what? There's His throne. Scripture with Scripture, it tells you exactly what you're looking at. And after He's caught up to God and to His throne, which already happened, the woman fled into the wilderness. This is His vision. And He's seeing these things. At what, kind of like an Old Testament prophet saw things, the mountaintops of prophecy. And he immediately then goes to what we see as the future. But listen, folks, if you remove the church age, it's within 3.5 years. You see that? We're this big parenthesis between 69th and 70th week. But when you remove the parenthesis, a lot of these things that look like they're taking a long time, you realize in God's time, they're not taking very long at all. He was caught up right at the end of the 69th week. And then the woman fled into the wilderness 3.5 years later. For 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? But thank God we can insert that parenthesis, because that's where you and I are, and that's how we got saved. Amen? Now, isn't that a pretty fascinating thing? It's quite a book, isn't it? That's why I'm going to tell you over and over, because I was telling about, I'm not here, Jim and I were talking about this earlier, I'm not here to make you think something great of Greg Miller. And as I get older, I know my memory is less impressive. And I'm less of a walking encyclopedia than I was the day before. And I miss those days. Man, back when I first got saved, I would just, you know, rattle off things, remember things, recall, man. And man, as I get older and older, I can see. And I eat a lot of blueberries. They say blueberries are supposed to help that, but man, I need to take a concentrated form and maybe even inject it. I don't know what. But I can always look anybody in the eye. I can always look at people and say, right there's where it's at. I can forget things. I can be fallible. But that
is the book.
Let's look at another one. We might do one or two more. We're already in Acts. If you're already there, if not, turn back there. Acts chapter 1. I am already there. Verses 10 and 11. We already read verse 9 where he's taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now it says verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. What you're going to find out, a lot of these men are angels, just like Gabriel the man. Remember that? Gabriel the man. Verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Question mark. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's talking about Jesus who just went up. And he says, and he's going to come right back down the same way he went up. But after the word heaven, shall so come in like manner, we're counting almost 2,000 years since then. There's another comma representing the entire church age, 2,000 years. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, comma, that, when I think of waiting, I think of two songs. That one and Anticipation. You remember that? See, I remember it as a ketchup commercial. Some of you remember it as a top 40 hit. Yeah, you knew who I was looking at. See, that's what I'm saying. You read these things, you'll see this over and over. You think, wow, you know, that we're in that comma. And still waiting. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, you know, we are very impatient. Especially this generation. I mean, I still want to... I have trouble with it, but I still want the old-fashioned popcorn. You know, where you know, but I always burn it. I have trouble with it. So I end up compromising, and every once, only probably twice a year, I get the hankering for a, you know, popcorn, and I'll throw a bag of that stuff in the microwave. Don't really like to do it, but you know, every time and I got COPD, I can't be breathing smoke. And what I used to do is go out to the Amish festivals, and they'd have that kettle corn, popcorn, you know what I mean? But anyway, what's that got to do with anything? Let's do one more. Oh, I was saying how everybody's got to have everything now. You know? And I'm not really like that. I'd rather have the old-fashioned, but then I'm bad at it. See? Just not good at it. But some of us aren't good at waiting. Some of us aren't good at patience is not our spiritual gift. But it's no use, you know, flailing about and getting upset about it. It's going to happen in God's time. But the one thing we can celebrate, the one thing we can really enjoy, is the fact we know it's going to happen. He doesn't leave His Word unfulfilled. We'll do one more. Luke 21:24. Luke. Sorry, I should have been turned there while I was yapping. Luke 21:24, parenthesis in another comma. Jesus is prophesying about what happens in 70 AD. So he's prophesying what we read about in Daniel 9:26, where the people of the princes shall come, destroy the city. And he says in verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Colon. Now that happened in 70 AD and it's called the diaspora. The Jews were scattered around the world. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, comma. That's still taking place to this day. And it'll continue as the text says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. If you go to Jerusalem right now, you'll find some Jews there, but you find a bunch of Gentiles. You've got the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox who pretend that they found the place where Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and all these other things. And you know what all that is? Constantine's mother, about 400 years after Jesus, Constantine's mother went down there and she would walk around and she'd say, "Oh, oh, oh, this is it." And they'd build a big million-dollar church. Yeah, she'd have a cramp. No archaeological evidence, no historical evidence, just baloney. And the Roman Catholic and the Greek Orthodox churches, they make money hand over fist. People going over there so they can get all teary about it and touch. Now, what we have archaeological evidence for is the skull, the place of the skull, Golgotha. Gordon's Calvary, as it's called. And we have a garden tomb real close to that that shows no one's ever used that tomb and decayed. Why would that be? Well, it was a new tomb. They laid Jesus in it. His body did not see corruption, as the Bible says. And then after that, no one dare lay a body in there. And that's the proof, the evidence for the Bible compared to like the Book of Mormon, where they don't have any evidence for any of the people, the battles, the cities. There's no evidence for the Book of Mormon. And in the Quran, they don't even try. There's not hardly any references in there about anything historical. And then if you go look at the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, it's not history. It's a trip. It's an LSD trip. You know, he smoked something and wrote about it. And we got this book. And it doesn't even, there's no comparison. And we're looking at this, and it says, "They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, comma, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And you look at the Temple Mount, you got this big Dome of the Rock from the Gentile religion of Islam. You look all over Jerusalem, all over Israel, still Gentiles everywhere. It's a percentage. I think it's like 20% or something like that, or 20-some percent of the population is Arab in Israel. They have Arab members of the Knesset. But there's coming a day when the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. The church will be removed. It's another reason why the pre-trib rapture is biblical. And once the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, the rapture takes place. That's when verse 25 and the rest of Luke 21, that's when Matthew 24, that's when Revelation chapter 4 through chapter 19 all are fulfilled. And I will quickly show you these slides if you want to take note. We have several more. I'm not going to run this into another study. But it's the same thing over and over. And look at it and see if you can see it. And if you have trouble, check with me. We'll read it together. Because there's a chance I got the wrong reference. But you can see it referenced basically in Isaiah 54:7. That's just one verse. I'm going to read it. I think it's verse 7 and 8. "For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." Well, see, there it is right there in one verse. Semicolon. "For a small moment I have forsaken thee." That happened because they rejected their Messiah. Right now, he's already started. The stage is set for the rest of verse 7. "But with great mercies will I gather thee." See that? And then another one is in Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And that takes you from the dispersion, diaspora, 70 A.D., to the millennial reign. Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. The tenth example, if you read Amos 9, read 8 through 10, and then you'll see that stops the end of the 69th week, and then Amos 9, 11 through 15 begins after the 70th week. Amos 9, basically verses 8 through 15, but the split is between verses 10 and 11. And an 11th example is the Christmas prophecy, Micah 5, 2 and 3. And we hear this at Christmas time. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So between those two verses is a split. I think I have one more, another Christmas prophecy, Luke 1, 31 through 33. You can jot that down and look it up when you get a chance. Any questions while we're doing this? Anybody want to ask anything? Let us know. So the Gospels tell us that the church age was hidden until His coming. In Matthew 13, I believe. I think I have it here. This is Jesus. He says, all things... This is Matthew writing about what Jesus was saying. Verse 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Anybody acts like the Old Testament is the end all is crazy. The Jesus Himself said there's all kinds of things that weren't given in the Old Testament that have been kept hidden until now. And the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, He gave us some of that. But Paul says the church age was a mystery that was hidden until Jesus came. In Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, he said, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. If you don't get into Paul's epistles, you're not going to get it. There's things in there that were never given before. And in verse 9 it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It was a mystery before Paul. People would say it's still a mystery. No, it was a mystery before Paul, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And then the final point, Jesus prophesied what Paul fulfilled. When Paul gave us all these mysteries, revealed these mysteries, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus, who said in John 16, 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. What's that? Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, all of that. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And that's not talking about Paul, that's talking about the Holy Spirit who gave Paul the inspired words in our book.